chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. That's going to be our foundation for the rest of this month. And for everyone that's here for the very first time, thank you all so much for coming today. And those who have tuned in to listen to the podcast, thank you as well for hitting play. I believe that today God has something specifically for you and what he desires to speak through our community on this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'll be reading this one from the New King James Version. And everything else may end up coming from the New Living Translation, but I like the New King James. Here it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Again, it says, "And we know that all things," that means everything, "works together," as we found out last time, "in collaboration, both the good and the bad." I was watching a particular sermon on last week, and Tyler Perry was actually the one that was ministering. And the question that came to him was, you know, what do you consider your success and failures in life? And Tyler Perry said something I thought just really fit with Romans 8 and 28. He said, "I don't really consider myself having any failures." Because if Romans 8:28, which it says what it says, that all things work together, that even the things that I considered failures were really God's grace because it led us here today. It says it works together for the good, to shape and reshape our values, to those who love God. As we found out a couple weeks ago, love God means those who respond to God's unconditional love. And that's going to be a thread you're going to hear a lot in the next coming weeks. God's love is not something that we can earn. And so our behaviors don't cause God to change how he is toward us. However, how God is toward us is what changes our behavior. So it's saying, and we know, as we've looked back and seen over the course of our life, that both the good and the bad has had time to shape us into who we are, and that it's working in collaboration to shape and reshape our values, because we've responded and seen that throughout the course of our life that God loves us unconditionally. It says, to those who are called according to his purpose. And this is very important during 21 days of prayer, to be able to lock in and be fine-tuned into God's purpose for our life. And I just want to introduce his purpose to you in a greater measure, because his purpose for our life is greater than our minds can figure out. So our mind sometimes tries to figure out the end from the beginning. It tries to plan when the Lord says, take step A. We're the ones trying to say, all right, well, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P. Then it has to be that way. But God wants to take us by the hand, because he has a purpose for your life that is greater than you. It's greater than just you being blessed. It's greater than just you having everything that you need. But your purpose is something that you cannot fulfill in your own strength and in your own intellect. You are called to reach greater heights and greater measures. And it's almost like knowing the end of the story, the end of the movie, or the end of the competition before on paper it has ended. When you know that you've already won, when you know that God has called you to be further than where you are today, then you don't get tripped up into what's going on right now, because you know the end of the story while you're walking out and writing your story. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So the title of this series is Defining Moments. This is the series Defining Moments, and in just a moment, I will tell you the topic for today. But as we learned a couple weeks back, defining moments are the point at which essential character and nature of a person or a group is revealed or identified. See, we're not defined by what happens to us, yet we make our stamp in life based in our response to what happens to us. Defining moments are often get wrapped in disappointments, in setbacks, and rejections. So it's learning how to experience the ebbs and flows of life, that when things happen outside of the way we thought, we can have enough patience to see, God, you are going to work everything together to show me your goodness in this situation. That's where we trust. Defining moments are able to shape our perceptions, and they're able to influence our behaviors. James chapter 1. This is a very fun book to read. It really digs into detail. James, just to give you all some backdrop to the gentleman's book that we're reading today, many people confuse this James for the disciple James that you read about in the Gospels. But this James that we're reading today in the book of James is actually Jesus' half-brother. So can you imagine growing up in a household with Jesus, the pressure that had to be to live up to? Oh, how come you couldn't be like your brother? Turning water to Kool-Aid. You can't do that. But James is able, and I love James' book because James was considered the pastor of the churches or the 12 tribes of Israel in that area. So James had to write one letter. If you were to address, if you're over particular divisions in your company or you're over a large number of employees, if you only had one shot to address everyone, what would you say? And that's the whole context to the book of James. James has one shot to deal with everything going on in the church at that time. So it's a very, very enlightening book, and that's why you see him just abruptly ending conversations and topics. Like he'll start talking about when you go through diverse temptation, watch your mouth, stop being judgmental. All of you who are teachers know that you'll be held to a higher standard, and pray. So you'll notice those type of things. But in James chapter 1, so this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes of Jewish believers scattered abroad. I want you to notice something here that's very interesting about the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. So during this time while he was writing, there was intense persecution of the believers or of the church during that time. Now, we can look at it one of two ways. We can look at it and say, oh, no, the church was being persecuted. People were being put to death. Or we can look at it from God's purpose. Before Jesus left, Matthew 28, he said, go ye into all the world. And what happened was, after Jesus told his church to go ye into all the world, it's called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. He said, go ye into all the world. And the church decided that it was going to stay clicked up together. So when persecution came, instead of it looking as if Satan was winning, Satan was using the evil inside of people's hearts to accomplish God's will for that time. So while they were scattered abroad and running, they should have been gone before the persecution happened. Now, I don't want to knock them, because haven't you been there where the Lord told you to do something and you just dragged your feet? And you just waited and waited and put it off until you had no other choice but to do what God said. That's what happened with the church during that time. So he's now writing this letter to them all. And he said, greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That is ironic. How in the world that when people I know are being persecuted, I'm having to leave my home, leave my comfort zone, how in the world can I consider that joy? It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, when it's tried, your endurance has a chance to grow. If we never had a test, if we never had a trial, we would not know what's on the inside of us. We would not be able to fully grasp and understand the depths of God's love for us. we would begin to depend in our own strength if there was no testing and no trials. Now, there are other places in Scripture, and I may get there today. I may not, so let me throw this nugget out here initially. Whenever we see the word "that you may prove" in Scripture, "that you may prove" in Scripture, it is not referring to "that you may prove to God." God knows where you're at. It's so that you can prove to you that God is faithful. It's a difference. It says, but when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance, and the word endurance, I have a simple math equation for endurance. Endurance equals time multiplied by testing. Endurance is simply time multiplied by testing. How long can you stand? It says, when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing or lacking anything. So when tests and trials come your way, on the inside, you will see and know that you've had everything that you could have already needed already with you. So now when we consider what James was saying in verse 2, to count it all joy, count every moment joy, I couldn't help but think about growing up. Now, I don't know if you all grew up in this particular house or you're this type of parent, but my mother would tell my brother and I, if you're going to be in this house, you're going to do something. You are just not going to sit up here on your behind sucking up all my electricity, and you're not a positive citizen in society. I don't know, are you all those parents, or did you grow up in those homes by a show of hands? That's right. You're going to do something. If you're in school, you're going to be the best at it. If you're not in school, you're going to be working. If you're not working, then you're going to be thinking about where you're going to be working. But you are going to do something. You will not stay in this house and not work. You will not get lazy. And I thought how significant that is concerning all of the moments in our life, that we are not going to let a moment, whether it's good or bad, hit our life and we not learn from it and we not work the moment. So the title of today's message is Work the Moment. Regardless as to what happens to you, regardless as to what goes on, whether it's good or bad, you are going to learn something that happened and who God is and his character in that moment. You are going to work that moment. It's important that everything that happens, you ask yourself, what can I learn about God's character even in this? How can I be less dependent on myself and more dependent on him? I endeavor to lead a community that is challenged to go beyond areas you told yourself were your limits of personal growth and development. I want life to be so uncomfortable at times for you that you stop telling God no to what he asks you to do. I desire to see every person in here able to lead someone else into a fulfilling relationship and an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, because not of what you read, but because of what you tasted and seen and saw that it was good. Amen. I pray, and I've seen with my eyes a community of individuals that when life happens, they laugh. In my personal lifetime and in marriage over the last 8 years, I've been fired twice. My wife has laughed both times. I'm coming home nervous, and I tell her the news, and she's shouting. If I could only get the faith of my wife. Because no matter what happens, you are able to see God for who he is. And you find that your agony is because you depended on something other than him. Amen. And you're upset with yourself that you use someone else or something else as the crutch. And when the crutch was moved out the way, you found that you weren't as developed as you thought and told others you were. And so instead of accepting responsibility that I wasn't necessarily growing and I was depending on things that I could see and things that ultimately I could control, as opposed to saying, God, whatever your word says, whatever your will says, that is what I'm doing. That is where I'm living. I love this quote from George Washington Carver. He said, "No individual has any right to come into the world and go out of it without leaving behind him distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it." He says, no individual has any right to come into this world and go out of it without leaving behind, and I'll say them, distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it. You will never make tremendous strides in the kingdom living in the comforts of your own home. That is kingdom individuals who have access to the word of God, who've been in church for some time. It's time for us to step up and to live beyond ourselves. Now, when I say that, I'm not asking you to disregard yourself, but I'm going to show you that in this Christian walk, the default is that you're already taken care of. That's default. That's, hear me out. That doesn't require faith. Ooh, y'all pulling me now, because that wasn't in nobody's notes. It does not require faith to have all your needs met. Wow. Matthew chapter 6. Talked about the grass has its needs met. The birds have their needs met. That's a part of God being a good parent, putting you on this earth. Wow. Wow. I'm having a moment. That was a, I'm going to just say lie on that one. So let's look at defining moments now. Because we're all supposed to be living and walking by faith. But if the majority of my prayers are about, Lord, won't you meet my needs? Then you've yet to start walking by faith. So let me give some foundation before I go into where we're going to go today. Just some notes about defining moments, and they're also here in the YouVersion Bible app as well. But defining moments are actually entry points. And this kind of help you understand exactly what's going on at every moment of your life. Defining moments are entry points to either our promise, and your promise is from God. It's what he said concerning your life. Every person has a purpose. Every marriage has a purpose. Every relationship has a purpose. And God has promised you certain things and rights that belong to you. That's from God. But the next entry point to defining moments, you'll see that after he's given you the promise, then you're going to enter your process or our process. So your promise is from God. Your process, that's actually for you to develop character. I am so glad that when the Lord showed me some 20 or so years ago when I accepted the call to go into full-time ministry, I am glad that at age 12, I wasn't pastoring a church. There was a process. I'm glad that when I got out of Bible college, that I didn't pastor a church. I'm glad that in 2010, when I first got married and thought that I could pastor a church, I didn't pastor a church. God takes you through a process to refine your character and purify your motives. Because when you're in the process, you are actually seeing, why do I actually do what I do? In your process, the Lord is able to prove to you why you have certain convictions that you do. I'll give you all a good, fun story right quick. In September, I am going to really delve into the revelation of grace. Like, I have never been able to do this in the last 5 years. I've had this revelation. I've touched it and moved, but I'm jumping right in. So I was throwing out, you know, the different things when I was a youth pastor some 5 years ago. I was throwing out things about the revelation of grace and actually was invited to do a young adult meeting. And as I was doing the young adult meeting, I was saying the basis of grace, which is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Meaning there is nothing you can do to earn salvation, which means there's nothing you can do to lose salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so one of the young adults at the time raised their hand and said, well, if that's the case, why did I stop sleeping with people then? And that moment helped me understand that the majority of Christians are living this life based out of obligation. And now, man, y'all pulling me out here today, and we're going to, I love this. I'm on the floor. This is fun. So if I live this Christian life out of obligation and my relationship with God is exemplified in the covenant of marriage, then people get married out of obligation. So if I'm married out of obligation, then I'm faithful out of obligation. If I'm faithful out of obligation, I resent doing what I should do because it's not what I want to do. So if I back that up all the way to our Christian life, we live this Christian life in resentment to God, thinking he's holding back our fun because it's not something that I want to do. When the Christian life, what God has said is that I am going to free you to live the way you want to live. Now, if you want to drink rat poison, then by all means, go ahead and drink rat poison. But if you do not want to drink rat poison, I have an entire book of wisdom that will help you live your best life now. Amen. And so you get away from an obligatory service to the Lord, thinking that if I give a little more, God will love me a little more. If I serve a little more, then maybe God will shine down on my house and my business and everything. That is manipulation. So when moments hit us, we are through with God. Because I did everything you said, and look at my life now. I'm walking away from all of this. I didn't love you anyway. I was just doing it so I could get to heaven, because don't nobody want to go to hell. I live in Georgia. I can't go over 105 degrees. And that's the basis of our life. As opposed to, I've learned that when you're doing something you want to do and you're with somebody you want to be with. Another thought came to mind. It was something I saw on the internet, and since I saw it there, it's real. where it was making a joke about, you know, it was, you know, one of them posts, you know, one of them, you know, I call them catty posts, like, ladies, that man don't have a problem with commitment. He had the same barber 20 years, had the same video game 20 years. He commit to what he want to commit to. And that was real. That was real. But that's real for all of us. When you're committed, you're not quitting. When you're committed, it don't matter what happened. I love you. I'm here. And that's the life that God wants us to live. So finally, our promotion. So if our promise is from God, our process is for us, your promotion, our promotion is for others. That's what requires faith. Some of us don't want to get too big because of the problems that come with it. The problems are for you to be an example to others on how to get through their issues. So if you're selfish, only thinking about what you need, then you're missing out on the greater purpose of your life. Now, I understand that at times life has been tough. Life has been hard. Even right now, you may be in the fight of your life, and so it's hard. I get it. It's hard to think about other people. But I want you to see the principle in believing for things for someone else. That in order for you to be a blessing to someone else, that means it has to come through you first. I have yet to see a water hose that watered grass and the water hose itself not be dripping with water. So when I only think about what I need, I limit the grace that's already on the inside of me to what I can see and what I can do in my own strength. But when I go beyond what I have, when I put everything on the line, I find that I've only been tipping a God who's a billionaire. I can tell you with all finality, when it came to launching the outlet, there was not a trust and a reserve of natural resources. There weren't a list of options on the table. But there were cries from people I have yet to meet, and prayers from grandmothers who have long since passed, who have prayed for today to happen. And the only thing you need in your purpose is the currency of faith. And I have been able to see without any shadow of doubt that God, his word is true. When people ask us, what do you need? I have all that I need because of him. I don't really know what to say. I begin to think about greater vision. How can we impact this next generation? How can we impact this community? How can we love on people that we see every day? How can we help a person who's given up their hope in God? How can we reach others around this entire world? How can we take the outlet to places that have yet to see it? How can we get on every single channel possible to let people know that Jesus is alive and he loves them, and this God that people have been saying that is out here judging them is not the God who's sitting in heaven waiting for them to accept him and to let him help them in their life. See, when you get beyond what is happening in the moment, you understand the purpose of that moment, and then you begin to work that moment, that nothing happened by accident, nothing caught God by surprise. And if we're just honest long enough, in your prayer time, you heard God talking to you and telling you you need to step out, but you decided like the disciples did when Jesus said, I want you to cast your nets. You only cast one. The reason why they cast one net is because they didn't catch anything for days prior. They were on a series of losing streaks. Nothing happened. Everything closed. I'm tired. I'm worn down. I've given my life for this. And the very thing that I've given my life for, I can't do right now. But when we can't, God can. And when God stepped in and gave them a word and told them what to do, even in their disobedience, they couldn't hold the overflow God was trying to get to them. Could it be that in our life we have failed to believe everything that's already on the inside of us, so we're living lower than where God has created us? That there are moments in our lives that define us and are waiting for us to respond, are waiting for us to stand tall, are waiting for us to say that Jesus is Lord. And Satan's greatest tool is distraction. Guess what they said? Guess what they did? Guess what might happen? When if you look to Jesus, how did everything happen as fast as it did for the outlet? I had no other direction but Jesus. There's too much on the line. I need Jesus. And even in the moments, because I wish I could tell you I was this great person of faith. I wish. I would like to be. I'm growing. And this 21 days of prayer is really helping. Helping others is helping me to grow in my faith, which is my response to how much I believe God loves me. But even in my doubt, God is still good. So the Lord said, plant a church. And I said, Lord, how? He said, just go. So in my mind, in my doubt, I went over to Cascade Library to get a study room. That was my faith. I wanted a room. When God wanted to give me a facility. It's my faith. It's not about my faith. It's about his faith and what he said for you. That's what matters. That's why I gotta pinch myself sometimes. I gotta. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. But he does. He didn't ask you to know. He asked you to go. So we were talking this week. We said, how... At what moment did we know this church was going to work? You know, what was that? You know, everybody want to have that defining moment, like, how did you know? And I realized because I was ignorant, my only option was to keep moving. There was no failure. It's the lights. Lights got my cheeks sweating. So he spoke to me this phrase. He said, it's the lessons you learn in the process that cause you to come out seasoned for the promise and ready for promotion. Life is a crock pot. And most folk want microwave dinners. But this is a slow roast with all the nice seasonings. The seasonings of perseverance. The seasonings of just trust. The seasonings of compassion. The seasoning of gratitude. All on top of you to all those things work together so that you could have a heart for others. You know, coming into the ministry, only knowing my entire church life, mega ministry. That's all I knew. That's it. Big, let's do it. The process that was needed. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, and later on, read verses 3 through 9. But it talks about the trying of your faith is that of gold. And in that time, they put gold inside of what's called a crucible or a tight situation. And it's in that tight situation that the impurities are removed and that gold is refined and it's taken from just a lump of something to a masterpiece worth so much. I went through, there's not a position in the church that I haven't had on either side of church, whether it's administrative, whether it's ministerial. There's not one. That's why I need to end here shortly, as much fun as I'm having, because I used to be a children's minister. You feel me? So everybody's like, keep going. Aaron's like, sir. And when you go through experiences, you don't allow them to harden you, but you allow them to bring and form in you a heart of compassion for people who are going through something similar. So can I tell on myself, since we're just being out here and honest today? It's nice. This feels like real Bible study. Lord have mercy. So I used to, when churches were like this size, I used to think something must be wrong with that pastor. Like, how could he not have 5,000 people? How come he don't have all the lights and sound? Must be something. I mean, just looking like, you must have did something. That's why he had to start over. I know it. And I was cynical to the purest forms of ministry. I would allow a day to go by if one or two or maybe three people reached out to get engaged with the ministry. And when you're reduced down to nothing, one, two, three is a landslide. To have musicians and vocals who get up every single week, perform, and they deal with me on a weekly basis, and they know I don't know what I'm doing, and they still do it every single week, and ain't cussed me out yet. That's special. Vante, who you see on the keys, what most people don't know. See, you know, as a young pastor, we have visions of grandeur. You know, I'm thinking, oh, I'm anointed. I know a lot of people, first service, we're getting ready to, pack it out, get the stanchions. We're going to have to just tell them we're going to go to two services in the fall. Yes. And you come out and it's like, thank y'all. And you begin to appreciate everything, every person, every gift. Let me tell you something about the outlet. I learn this every single week. There's something supernatural happening in this community. It does not make sense. It doesn't. To be able to start off impacting the community. You know, I've wanted to teach Malachi 3. I really have. I want to just really talk about bring ye the tithes. I've never had to say bring ye at all. When we receive offering, y'all already know what y'all going to do anyway. So it's like we just talk. And I just tell y'all the vision that we're doing. And you all just support. It is just generosity personified. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Every person that joins serves. Huh? Where that happened at? I just talk and then y'all do. And then y'all at home thinking about ways to make it better. Without a budget. It's unreal. But it's because we trust in what God is doing. And not in what we can do. I promise you, outside looking in, y'all would swear I had like a like at home, we've got a whole command center just ready to go to crank out outlet ideas. No, we just do what the Lord says. So, we're being transparent today. So, when we first began, Pastor Richardson, who was here, he said, "Vince, I believe you can get started by Easter." I said, "What? No, I'm trying to milk this. I'm trying to just lay and wallow in my pain and in my grief. Ain't nobody started in no Easter. No, that's 3 weeks. No. But it confirms something in here. Go. So the Lord said, go to Grant Park. Like the actual outdoor park. And just preach Jesus to those trees. Mind you, during that time, one of our supporters, a major supporter of the outlet, is very well connected in the gospel industry. And they invited me to come and do Good Friday, the whole Holy Week, Seven Sayings of Jesus, right? You know, I had to act like, yeah, I could do that. But I was nervous. And when they asked me to do the Seven Sayings of Jesus, they originally scheduled me for Thursday. John Gray was supposed to do Friday. So I went in and taped my Thursday. And at the end of the taping, they said, "Now tell us where you're having Easter service." I'm like, I'm about to be on this radio saying, "Hey, I'm a new pastor. We're about to have some church by some trees. Come join us." But I made a promise to God that I wouldn't tell them no. So I said yes, and I did that tape, and I went home and just, I was nervous, but I was happy, and it was done. But I get a call on Holy Week, and the radio station calls, and they say, "I want to apologize to you, but we're going to need you to come back in and retape your segment. You see, we, by mistake, gave John Gray your day. And so now you need to take John Gray's day." I said, "No, that's like me coming and rapping after Tupac. That ain't happening, no." But I told God I wouldn't say no. So I said, "Yeah, I'll come right in and I'll just retape it right there. What day is it going to air?" "Good Friday. It's our biggest day. About 3 million cars will hear you." Okay, great. All the while, God is working behind the scenes. So I get up there and we tape Good Friday. And live on that radio, "Where are you having church?" "In the Grant Parks by the trees." Everybody else has all these mega ministries, big time, household names. Who are you? Vince. So we have our Easter service. And we're out there. We're having a great time. And I can tell y'all this now. I couldn't tell y'all then because y'all wouldn't have came back. But we ain't had no building when I said that we were going to meet on the 15th. I ain't know about this. I turned in an application. I ain't hear anything back. But I just knew we had to keep moving forward. There was no time to stop. There's no time to waste. So after I told you all, we're going to have an open house, and I'm going to let you all know the location on Facebook. Create a little suspense, and I was nervous. On that following Wednesday, we got the phone call that said that we were approved for King Middle School. And I looked at the date of the approval. It was the day before Good Friday. I already had what I needed and could have broadcasted that to the world. But because I didn't take enough time in prayer and speak out of my spirit, I spoke out of my mind. Although a miracle, it was smaller than what God wanted. There are more miraculous stories like that throughout these last 6 months. And let's stand up before the Lord today.